Pod People.
Hello, Worsties. On today's episode of What Fresh Hell Is This? My dear friend, John Kung, is going to be on today's episode. We are going to talk about the importance of knowing how to cook as an adult. We're going to talk about how 30 is the new 20. We're going to talk about Satan. And if you don't know how to cook at this point in your life, how about you grow up? All right, let's get into it.
Ugh, Christ. What fresh hell is this?
Hello and welcome to today's episode of What Fresh Hell Is This? I'm excited about today's episode. John Kung, who is like a really talented chef. They are also a really successful content creator and started creating content during the pandemic, doing a lot of cooking videos and also offering up some great advice on just kind of like the artistry behind cooking and also different cultural things and manners and just advice, not only on how to cook, but also how to enjoy a meal, different like ways of like appreciating meals and just offering like new perspectives that have certainly helped me in my life when I'm cooking for other people. And I carry a lot of their advice with me. And if you don't know who John is, definitely check out their content. But I'm super excited to welcome to the show John Kung. John, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Of course. First of all, you look great. I'm loving this sweater.
Thank you. And I was just about to say I'm loving yours as well.
Thank you. Hannah Sung Designs. Who's a mutual friend of John. And how you travel a lot. I know you said earlier before we start recording that this is the first time you're in New York right now. This is the first time you have traveled in the new year, but you travel quite a bit, don't you?
Last year, I want to say I spent like half of the year like somewhere else and not home. And that wasn't too hard because like I was in the middle of like constructing my home, so I didn't want to like live in a construction zone, but I always had like a place to stay either in New York or in LA and how I can like not leave Detroit while doing it. But to do that, I had to get some perspective. So
yeah, because that's your home base. Like you are one of my more I guess, how should I say this? Like put together friends where
you can
have
old, Stanzi. You can say older.
Older. No. No, you're still young, John. No, you're in the prime. You're in your prime right now. Like the prime is basically just every time I reach a new age bracket, that's going to be the new prime in my eyes because I don't want to acknowledge the fact that I'm getting older.
Are you 30 yet?
No, but like
you're not.
Give it less than 3 years. Yeah,
like yeah. Wait, what? 3 days?
It's a little less. 3 years. 3 years. I have like a little less.
3 years.
Than 3 years.
I was like, oh, you're about to be
3 30? Days.
So it is so funny. Like as a person who had been 30 for a minute, and I'm like on my way out. But I have to say, it's really fun to watch. All these kids on TikTok like freak out over like turning 30, which I never understood that because I was like, I can't wait to be 30. Like I see all my friends who are in their 30s is like they have energy of their 20s, but they also had disposable income. Whereas like I was broke as hell with so much energy. Like I want to do all the things, but I guess that just means work because that's all I could do. 30 is awesome in the sense that like you have not yet, I told this to my friend who just turned it last year, like you have not yet begun to not give a shit. Like 30 is this magical thing where it's like, make sure obviously to do this, you have to have actually lived in your 20s because you're still young enough to heal from your 20s. But in your 30s, you should have already done most of it. And so like, you can just stay home. You know, you already know the fact that like, yeah, I could go to this after party, but nothing good actually happens after like 2 a.m. Like it's not going to be that. We're going to be zombie. We're going to come out looking like crypt keepers at 5 o'clock in the morning, maybe tweaking a little bit and regretting it for the next 2 days. So you don't do that. You just go and have fun. And that's what 30 is. It's like, and you're still keeping it just slightly a little bit tight. So
I think I used to be like a lot more afraid of my 30s, but now I have a lot of older friends, not old friends, older, right? Older friends, yes. Who are in their 30s and 40s, but you also have like money and stuff. All of that anxiety, all that age anxiety, like gone. And I can feel it too. Yeah. I can feel as I'm getting older, I'm just getting better. I'm like, my skin's better. Like, I look better than I ever did before. I'm like, and I have more money than I ever did before. And yes, I healed. I like healed from my childhood. Crazy, right?
Yeah, no, I feel like your skin actually like starts to calm down in your 30s. Like 20s, you're still like people. I feel like people are still like adult. I know you're not technically, you're like supposedly a full adult by 18, but like you're not. People still just like are still figuring out their bodies. You can still,
well,
you can tell.
That's what Leonardo DiCaprio is trying to convince us all. He's like, no, you are a full-fledged adult right now. You are. He's like, no,
he's looking
totally
at his
fine.
Watch. He is looking at his watch while doing it.
Boom.
Now. Will you go out to dinner with me now? Oh, Siri just came on.
Blow out the candles, baby. Let's get out of here. Yeah. But no, I agree. I think you stop growing, I think, fully at like 25 or something. I don't even know. But
something like
mentally.
That.
Mentally, you're, you know,
you should,
not there
you should never
for a
be
while.
Stopping.
Yeah, mentally, you should keep going. Always.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, I don't know, like coming out of college and stuff and then like, you know, having to kind of work your way up the career ladder and like it, like I only had money like this is the first year that I've like this past year. It's like this is the first year that I've had money, like real money.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, I totally know what you mean, because like once I started doing this, like I have caught myself. I think I remember like the first time that I actually like paid for dinner without counting in my head. And it wasn't like anything, but it was probably like, it was still like a chain restaurant somewhere. It was probably like, oh no, it was Gus's Fried Chicken. It was Gus's Fried Chicken, because there it's good fried chicken, but it is more on the expensive side and it's worth it. And I remember like just putting my credit card down and then I picked up my fried chicken and I was like, huh. I didn't think of whether or not like I could actually like afford this. Like I just knew that I was able to buy this fried chicken. And I was like, I just kind of like was shocked for a minute.
You're like, ooh.
It's a very, very different. Yeah, it's a very different sensation.
Yeah, being able to like put money down on something and not have to like do the math in your head about whether or not you can afford it, or having to constantly look at your bank account. I think my 30s are going to be the best arc. But you obviously are an amazing chef, and now you are a content creator also. So when did you start doing content, and also like what do you see yourself doing in the future?
Yeah, so it was pretty easy for me to like get onto or like take on content creation as a thing, because I started during the pandemic. Like literally, like once quarantine started, I wasn't allowed to cook for anyone like anymore. And so I was out of a job, and my, which just also happened to like be my entire identity. So
just real quick, what were you doing before that? Like, where were you? Were you working at a restaurant?
I was working in restaurants. I had my own place that was like, I did private dinners as well as like themed ticketed dinners. And if you like knew about me in the city, then I would like have an email list that I sent to people. It's like, hey, this is the menu for like this month's worth of programming. And people would buy tickets to these dinners. Cool. It was very, it was like an underground supper club, but I also worked at like my friends' restaurants. One of them was like an American Southern restaurant, and the other one was a like high-end gastropub. And so once the pandemic hit, obviously I wasn't allowed to, even though like I was serving in a secret illegal restaurant, I was like, well, I'm not going to be like that illegal because people aren't going to die here. So
just a little illegal.
I shut it all down, and I was like, well, the world's ending. People are stuck at home without anything to do. And we were still like not allowed to go to grocery stores yet. So we didn't really know about like food and stuff. So I was like, okay, so I'm going to make some TikToks showing people how to make a frittata out of like the rotting things in their fridge, and how to stretch a can of beans in for like a week, or how to take one whole chicken and make like a whole bunch of things with it. And that was kind of like my, because we all had like our awkward phases, like our awkward, cringy first few videos that we made that are off, that I keep on. Mine are still on them. Mine are still up there.
Every time I get a notification that some weirdo has scrolled to the bottom of my page, I'm like, oh,
first video?
Fuck you. Don't remind me of that.
It's like, how dare you? How dare you go all the way back there? And that's at this point, that's like 3 or 4 years worth of content that you're scrolling all the way back. Like, yeah. it's a little sick. It is.
It makes, literally makes me want to throw up.
Right.
Like, now you're a disgusting person for doing that to me. Yeah, that's terrible.
I think TikTok shows you when they like it, but I don't think people like will bother commenting on those videos anymore. Hopefully. What was your first
There's
content?
One...
What was your like content like?
The very first, and it's private now, you can't fucking find this video, so don't if any of you like you're not, it's gone. It was me putting on clown makeup and then like sobbing. I was just like circus.
You need you.
I don't know.
You need to bring that video back.
You
to bring that video
somewhere.
Back.
Yeah, it was just
no,
like
no. You
me.
Need to do that.
I don't.
You should do it again. With the clown makeup, except the music, the backing music should be that Miss Piggy singing that, the one that they have, is that Mimi, do it for you.
Like, yeah.
Then it will be
Didn't
art.
Didn't I do it for you? Yeah.
We will be right back.
Welcome back. You're in New York a lot on business. I've seen you, three times since I've lived in New York. Yeah. You were like one of the first people that I met offline. I think you were like the second person that I met offline, which was like super awesome. But every time you've come to New York, I've been able to see you, and you're always super busy because you're doing amazing things. Can you talk about some of the things that you're doing? I don't know cannot talk about.
Since last year, I had this is the year where all of the stuff that I had been working on is starting to finally come out. Like I think it was just last week. I released some spice blends with burlap and barrel. I had been working on those recipes since like last August. Just like three spice blends, like based off of like recipes, things that I think would just taste and smell really good in the kitchen. And my book is supposed to come out in October. And that I had been working on for the past year, and it's wild. Book writing is hard. Writing a book was hard, especially if you've never written professionally before in your life. And I'm just like, oh, a book is, I guess, in my future. So my book people, they're all in New York and in LA. We talk about, we go through like production meetings in LA for like potential TV projects all the time. So
that's super
really
exciting.
Anywhere, but
yeah, but you know, even if it's like, even if it's like a rejection or you're just not right for this thing that they're thinking of, like a lot of times these people just like keep you in mind for like other things. And I feel like you would be such a great like personality for a show because you just have that like, I don't know, you got a little bit of edge to you. Right. I know a lot
of
like
of
wholesome
things...
food people. I want the mean, rugged ones.
the tired old chefs.
Yeah, I want a bitter old queen of a chef.
It's like one of the things that I had quit smoking at this point for like over probably 15 years. But like one of the things that I just miss about having a cigarette or smoking actual cigarettes is like it's really hard to express how tired you feel when you have one.
You just need something.
You just kinda, like everything, even if I do this, like, wouldn't this be so much better with just a little thing at the end of these two fingers? Like, it's just like, it's such a tool of communication for me.
You need one of those candy cigarettes. For so long.
Exactly. Just a little just one carry with those Popeyes around. Branding still on it. Just, then you crunch on just it later.
Breadstick, perhaps. Yeah, just something to take the edge off.
Breadstick. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just still a light something. It, though?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, get a little char on it. Right. Absolutely. That's, it is really exciting to see how you've grown. And I admit, I absolutely listen to a lot of your, like, advice on like your cooking videos. I started washing my rice because of you. Like, I wash my rice. I do that. And you had a video recently where you were talking about how when you are cooking for someone, the best thing that you the person who is receiving the meal can do is like eat it right away and not wait.
Yes.
Because it's your taste buds don't react the same when it's cools. It's all this.
I mean, if you're cooking for someone, the best thing that they can do is like not wait, because like when you're bringing it out, that's like the best that the food is going to taste. Or like maybe like the 2 minutes after it's had time to cool, simply because like, you know, when I grew up, we always had to sit at the table and like wait for my dad to sit down and like, he eats first. And it's a very like, I think it's a pretty traditional Chinese thing. But like after growing up and being a cook and like watching people just like sit and wait and watching the food get cold, like I realized like, this is like the rudest thing to do for the person that did the most amount of work to make this dinner happen. So like, I just needed to get that out there where it's like, if you respect the cook and if who you want to be respecting the most is the person that's cooking the food, you should just eat it right away. Because the person who's cooking is not hungry. They've been nibbling the whole time, all the way through. And like, they want you to taste it as the best that it can be. They don't want you to like, be like, oh, this is okay when it was 10 minutes ago, excellent. Because it's kind of like, it's nerve wracking to watch people not eat their food after you give it to them.
That was, because I cook a lot. I really enjoy cooking and baking. And I had a couple of friends over the other day and they were like waiting for me. And I was like, I'm not hungry right now. I'm like, I'm not hungry. So just eat. Because my friend John said that you have to eat right now. So just do it. I do that like all the time. I'm like, my friend John in this cooking video said... I bring you up all the time because I'm like, my friend John said that you have to do this, okay, when I cook for you. And I feel like you have a lot of interesting perspectives when it comes to like cooking and eating and stuff that I think it's so valuable. And I feel like it's like really, it's always like new stuff that I've never even thought about before. So then I have just like a new perspective and new knowledge about cooking and whatnot, and I love that.
Thank you so much. I mean, you're I think welcome. It probably just comes from living a life of doing this as a job for your entire life, and so like you care about it and you have the time to like mull over the things that people just kind of overthink, or is like, oh yeah, it's just eating. It's like, no, it's eating is a skill just like anything else, like knowing how to eat, knowing what to order and stuff like that. That is all stuff that like you need to learn and that people take for granted, because that's like every dinner is an experience, whether or not it's just for fuel or just for or also for entertainment. Like it matters.
A lot of my friends don't cook, which is I guess in the day and age where you can kind of just like have food, anything basically just like delivered to your door. in like 20 minutes. You don't have to. I don't love doing delivery because I get this weird, like, ordering food, going on Uber Eats and ordering food gives me the same feeling of post-nut clarity, where I just feel like really guilty and ashamed and kind of want to die. Like, like it felt really, really good as I was placing the order.
I always, like, the only time I really order food is like when I'm stuck in a hotel and I like don't want to give the hotel all the money for room service because I feel like everything is overpriced here and none of them like offer sushi. Do you eat sushi?
I'm trying really hard to get into sushi. I feel like
you're gonna have to if you're going to LA.
I feel like I haven't had sushi yet. That's been like, I also think that I haven't been to a good sushi place yet. Like, I feel like every time we go out to a sushi place and they're kind of just like, yeah, this is kind of just like a whatever sushi place. I'm like, well, stop taking me to whatever sushi place is and take me to a good place. God damn it.
Well, the thing is, like, the good places are super expensive. So, like, generally, if you're going
to, I'm ready to
I feel like it's like levels. It's like, OK, you have to be able to enjoy yourself at a whatever sushi place before your friends will like invest that time and money into like bringing you to like a really nice sushi place, because like at a lot of the really nice ones you don't get to choose. Like they go for like the omakase sets where like you don't, the chef chooses what you get to eat, and so like if you're like, oh, I'm not really into this, like I think it might be a little offensive. So like the really good ones, like those are the ones like you should already like sushi before you go there.
Then I need like a middle ground. I need a middle ground sushi place
where people are like Sugarfish.
Well, that's a good. I'll keep that in mind. I don't dislike it. It's just like, yeah, I would never actively like choose it because I haven't had an experience where I've been like, wow, this is crazy. I love this. My baby sister loves it. Loves sushi, and they're going broke because she's just like, yeah, I want like
eating it all the time.
Yeah, they're like, God damn it. So so it's like, I've had things that I do not like, and that is not one of them. It's just not.
Oh my God, I know we should cook.
Ooh, what?
Sorry, I just had the thought. Remember when I was like, hey, I want to do a collaboration video, like way back when,
and that also, I remember. Yeah. Yeah, I wrote a fucking script for us, bro.
Like, I wrote a script for us too.
Yeah, we both wrote scripts, and then you were like, "Oh, yeah, I'm just sort of busy right now." And then you never again. I was like, cool.
Because I wanted to cook, because like I wanted to do this. Oh, this would be a great way to introduce the ingredient seitan. Because you were still doing your Satan content back then. And I was like, oh, a vegan stir fry with Satan. And like, we could still do that.
We could. I haven't stopped doing the heaven and hell videos. It's just not as like frequent. Because I like to, I try not to, if I don't have an idea for it, I try not to force it. Even if people are like really want it. Because I just like, then I feel like I'm just like, I'm not even inspired by this. Just like, whatever. But yeah, no, that is what we would cook. I've actually never had it. So it's kind of like a meat alternative ish. Like, is it, like, people use it for that?
Actually, like, it's literally just gluten.
Cool.
It's like straight up. It's straight up gluten. Gluten is like, and people like freak out when they hear it. And I was like, well, gluten's just like the protein in flour. That's all it is. There's starch, which is all the carbohydrates in bread. And then there is gluten, which is the protein. It's what makes it chewy. It's what makes it stretchy. And so what people do to make it is they take dough before it's been baked and they literally wash all the starch off. And then they're left with this kind of like chewy ball of vegan protein.
Sorry, celiac normally, nerds.
Yeah, right. And then they fry it, and it's fried deliciously, and they had stir fried and stuff like that. Of course, like, obviously, people who can't eat it can't eat it, but people who can, like, it's a vegan source of protein, and, like, Chinese people have been eating it for, like, probably thousands of years. I think we have to say thousands of years at this point. It's been thousands.
Thousands. Of years. Yeah. Thousands. It's in the thousands. Yeah. I've seen people cook with it before. I've obviously seen like you do videos about it and I've seen other people use it. I've never had it, but definitely something that I would have since it's like a vegan like alternative to whatever. And I feel like people can get like pretty creepy. It also sounds like Satan, so it's like, ooh, we're getting a little spooky, right? Yeah. Getting a little sinful.
You might not be doing those videos as much anymore, but you still have like the Satan branding on lock on TikTok.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, whenever you decide that you want to work with me after, I guess, it looks like it's like 2 years, I guess, maybe three, perhaps.
It hasn't fizzled yet. It's just, it's still, oh. It's...
No!
We're
it's
still...
It's too dark! I'm like, no, our content collaboration, no!
It'll still happen.
Damn you, Thanos! But this is a good place to ask my final question for you, which is, they say that's the key to a man's heart is through his stomach, right? But what if the same rule applied to the gates of heaven? So you're at the gates of heaven. What food are you preparing for God that'll get you a place in heaven?
Oh, it would probably be... That's a good question. I would probably say like something like super quintessentially like Chinese, like wonton noodle soup, because it's like super comforting and like super like just like everybody loves noodles and everybody loves dumplings, and wonton noodle soup is like just the combination of both. And if God is like, well, I don't like that, and I'll be like, well, this is like my cultural heritage dish and I find it problematic that you won't even try any. And yes, you should totally just like at least have some. And if they say you don't like it, everyone's like, well, that kind of sounds like a you problem. You should just let me in anyway. And we're just going to forget this whole thing ever happened.
You could just try showing chest also.
I mean, that's what we've been doing this whole. Here we
go. That's actually a great answer. That's actually a great answer. And I like that you went instead of doing something like crazy elaborate, like the comfort route, because comfort meals are just so comforting. Whoa. But like it's the best, like comfort food is the best. Just makes you feel so good. I think that you would give God this wonton noodle soup and he would have that like ratatouille moment. Where
he's just
fucking
like...
weirdo Nosferatu guy eats the ratatouille, and then he just is like, my childhood and my mother who prepared this for me.
I would say it was like, is the food better in heaven anyway? Like, don't they just do spicy food in hell? Like, is the food better in heaven, considering the fact that like, who kind of like wrote it?
If God wouldn't accept your delicious soup, like, you don't want to be there anyway.
That's what I figure.
Is my opinion on that.
Yeah.
I also feel like anyone that would be eligible to go to heaven, just based on, you know, based on what I hear from others, right? Because I didn't read the Bible. Everyone up there just seems like a huge fucking pussy. I'm not overly impressed with the guest list that is supposedly up there. People are like, oh, like, you know, like when someone's uncle dies, someone's aunt dies, or grandma or something, they're like, oh, she's in heaven. Like, her?
Yeah. Oof. And I feel like if it's the best that y'all can do, like Chick-fil-A up there.
Yeah, that's you walk through heaven and it's just someone, it's just a fucking like Chick-fil-A cash register.
They're still like, closed on Sundays in heaven.
Yeah. They're like, hey, welcome to heaven. Can I get some waffle fries? Our pleasure. Our pleasure. Ugh. Gross. Yeah, I went to a Chick-fil-A once, and it felt like a cult. And the guy who took my order was like, this was like years ago. The guy who took my order looked like a, I say years ago just so someone doesn't go, why were you at Chick-fil-A? I don't support them. I would never go again. And I actually don't think it's that good. So shut the fuck up. All right. All right. I've done a lot worse things, you guys. I've done a lot worse things, but I would never go to a Chick-fil-A again. But the one time that I did, the guy that took my order, he looked like he used to be a priest. And this was, or like maybe he still was, and this was his side fucking job or whatever. And he was like, because they don't say like, you're welcome. They say my pleasure. And so as I got my order, he was like, you know, thank you so much for coming in, Stanzi. Like, he said my name, and I was like,
no, that's weird.
Never again. I was like, it felt like Scientology. It felt like walking into a place and they're like, why don't you stay for a while? I'm like, oh, I gotta get the fuck out of here. And then I didn't even like the food. Boo. Chick-fil-A bad. Hateful Christians. That's the point. And try cooking more. That's the moral of today's episode. And fuck people who can't eat gluten. That's the other thing. Yeah. Great. Wow. Wow. Good episode, right? We got a lot covered.
Amazing. We didn't even cover the fact that, like, we were both doxxed together. I just realized that. I was like,
we'll have to save
that
would have
been
fun
to talk about. Yeah.
We'll have to save that for the next one. Oh, yeah. Though, I like that. I like leaving this off on a
We could have just read that whole thing. That would have been hilarious.
And by the way, on the next time, right? A little cliffhanger. I love that. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, John. This was very enlightening, insightful, and fun. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, that was just lovely. I love that, like, every person that I have on the show, like, also has ADHD. So it's just us being like, for an hour. I just black out every time I open my mouth. And I'm like, I hope I said something good. I hope there was some sort of like gold in there. I hope this was usable. Like, especially now that I have like other people on, it's just like rampant, just ADHD, like just go like fucking crazy. But John was definitely on the tamer side of some of my more recent guests. But thank you so much, John, for being on the show. Definitely check out their content if you haven't seen it, and learn how to cook, goddammit. Anyway, thank you for tuning in, and go find John's book and follow them on social media. Thank you for tuning in today, and I will see you next week. Thank you.